Today we're going to be talking about taking time for our children, because if we don't take time for them when they're little, guess what? They grow up so fast, and those of us that are older realize how quickly that time that we can nurture our children passes. So we're going to start with Deuteronomy 6, verse 1, and I'm going to read a short portion of Scripture here. It says, "These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all of his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so it may go well with you, and you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord God of your ancestors promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your homes and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." And so what the Lord wants us to do is, first of all, have his laws, his commands on our hearts. And then he wants us to teach our children, and in most of our cases, our grandchildren, every time we get a chance, about the things of their God. So an amusing story is told of an elementary school teacher. She was a first grade teacher, and she came into her class, opening day of class, and she said, "Hello, boys and girls, my name is Mrs. So-and-so." And she says, "I want you boys and girls to know that I am an atheist." She said, "How many of you boys and girls are atheists?" And of course, all little children want to please their teachers. So all the kids raised their hand except one little girl. One little first grade girl wouldn't raise her hand. So the teacher wanted to kind of embarrass the little girl. And she said, "Little girl, why didn't you raise your hand?" And the little girl said, "Because I'm a Christian." And the teacher really wanted to embarrass her then. And she said, "Now, why are you a Christian?" And the little girl said, "My parents are Christians, and they taught me about Jesus, and now I'm a Christian." "Oh, your parents are Christians then." "Yes, yes. Let me ask you, little girl, if your parents were morons, what would you be then?" And a little girl said, "I suppose I'd be an atheist like you." Have you heard in Proverbs where it says, "Answer a fool according to their folly, lest they be wise in their own eyes"? There's a time to answer a fool according to their folly. And the verse, I think it's either before that, says, "Do not answer a fool according to their folly, or you'll be like them." So with wisdom, we have to know when to answer a fool according to their folly and when not to. But the idea here is, this little girl said she's a Christian, and that upset the teacher. Why? Because her parents were Christians, and they taught her about Jesus. I don't know if you know this or not, but psychologists finally are understanding why the Bible said train your children when they're little. Because by the time you're 5 years old, you know 80% of all you're ever going to know in your life. You stop and think of all the things you learn in those first 5 or 6 years of life. It's truly amazing. We learn all of our speech habits. We learn what words are. We start to spell. We start to figure, where do we fit into the scheme of things? It's amazing how much information. So in Malachi chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Has not the one God made you? You belong to him in body and spirit. And what does the one God seek? Godly offspring. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. The man who hates and divorces his wife, says the Lord God of Israel, does violence to the one he should protect, says the Lord Almighty. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful." In all of our Christian marriages, what the Lord wants is both the husband and the wife to love their Lord with all their heart and bring up their children to do exactly the same. It's the most important job any parent has, is to help those little ones come to the knowledge of the Lord and to begin to revere him. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Now, I got to tell you the truth. In a marriage, it's both the husband and wife's job to train those children. But who does the Lord separate out here that is primarily his responsibility? It's the husband. A lot of husbands, "I'm just not that spiritual. I let the wife do it." The Lord says, "Dad, it's your situation." Do you know that if a lady goes to church on a regular basis and the husband doesn't, almost 80% of the time the children will not go? But if dad goes and the wife doesn't, almost 80% of the time the children will go. Dads have an exclusive thing with their children to set the example, to live the life, and the children will normally follow a man who's walking with the Lord. And if a man isn't walking with the Lord, instead of following a mother who is, they'll follow the dad. It's just a natural thing in children to follow their fathers. And so it's so important to the Lord that we are to, as dads, set the example for our wives and for our children, because it's a natural thing where they will follow. In Proverbs 26:5 is that verse I quoted earlier, "Fool according to his folly, or he'll be wise in his own eyes." So life has its moments of opportunity in all of our lives. But if you don't buy up those opportune times and you don't use them, very quickly those moments are gone. And in the case of having children, 0 to 5 happens really quick. I can't believe how old my grandkids are now. Not only my children, but now my grandchildren. It's so fast. They're just growing, growing, growing. We as parents have children under our care for just a few short years. When our kids are 2 and 3 and even up to 5 or 6, they take almost anything their parents say as gospel. As long as dad and mom are faithful to their word, children will believe almost anything you teach them. But from about 7 to about 10 or 11, children begin to question how much dad and mom know. And from 12 to 18, they're questioning everything you tell them. They've got their own minds now. And after 18, guess how much input you usually have? Almost none. They're running their own life now. They're in charge of the life. They don't want to listen to dad and mom until they get about 25 or 30 and start having their own children. And all at once, dad and mom look pretty smart again. That's why you did all the things you did. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he tells us as parents what we're supposed to do. He says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." But if we don't do that, Let's say right off the bat that in God's mercy, you don't offer your body as a living sacrifice. This is my body. I'm going to do what I want to do with it. I know what the Lord says about anything you want to talk about, whether it's alcohol use or sexual sins. If you give your body to the Lord, you're saying, Lord, whatever you say, that's what I want to do. That sets an example for your children. If you tell your children you shouldn't look at dirty movies on the TV and they see you doing it, what does that portray to them? Yeah, you don't believe what you're saying. And so often that's the case. Instead of dad and mom giving themselves totally to the Lord, they reserve a part. You read your children a devotion about not losing your temper and saying mean things. And then you lose your temper and you say mean things. But if you really give your heart to the Lord and you really try to live for him and you don't conform to the way this world works, your children also see that. And that's when they learn to fast. When what you're trying to tell them is what you're trying to live. And again, nobody does it perfectly. Don't get me wrong. There are going to be times you're going to have some severe disagreements. But your children learn so much from what they see you doing. The old saying is, I'd rather see a sermon anytime than hear one preached. And children especially, that's the case. Our children must be taught from their very earliest years, before our children were even born. Now, Shane was born before we became a Christian. The rest of our children heard, yes, Jesus loves me, before they were ever born. Because we sang over Mimi's belly as the babies were still there. Why? Because we wanted to get it into them as quick as we possibly could. And all their little years, they went to Sunday school, and it was very disruptive. This morning we had Andrew and his wife Mary here with the two little ones, and Paul was here with his three little ones, and it's very disruptive. But man, that's so important. You've got to have those little ones here. A Sunday school, church, it's so important. All of our lives are short. Moses said that. In Psalm 90, verse 9, Moses wrote this psalm. He says, all of our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow. And they quickly pass, and we fly away. 70 to 80 has been pretty much the norm all through history. But I want to tell you, those go fast. Some of you are my age or a little hair older, or a little hair younger. I want to tell you, the rest of it's going to go even quicker. It's not going to slow down. So anytime we get to talk with our children or our grandchildren, to put in the love of the Lord, you won't waste a minute. It's so important. We have still time, even with adult children, we can still try to work with them and pray for them and help them to know the love of the Lord. And in Deuteronomy 6, it says, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all of his decrees and commands that I give you, and so you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. It's so important for moms and dads to be talking about the Lord all through the day. Because your children need to know that's the most important relationship you have, and it's the most important relationship you hope that they have. Because so many people see the relationship with the Lord as priority number 99. What's most important when my kids are little? I want to get them into sports, and I want to help them to be the all-star player. What's most important with my children? I want them to be a straight-A student, and I'm pushing on that more than anything else. And we totally forget what's most important. Whether that child is an A student or a C student, is it going to make a whole lot of difference in 20 years? It's not, folks. How about the difference for all eternity? What's going to be most important? The jobs they had, the degrees they have, or the relationship they have with the Lord? That's what's going to matter. And so we need to stress those things so that we can praise the Lord and help our children to love him. Because that's what's going to last. Even if your son or your daughter becomes a doctor, it's 40 years, 50 years, and they're done. But if they fall in love with the Lord, it's for all eternity. We love it when a Christian boy or girl grows up loving the Lord and the Lord uses them in a great way. That's wonderful. But like most of us, he's going to use us just in a normal, ordinary way. And that's wonderful too. We don't have to be superstars. What we have to do is love the Lord with all our heart and use whatever he's given us for his glory. You know, when we get to heaven, it isn't going to be the smartest person or the best job person that's going to get the greatest reward. It's the person that served faithfully with what God gave them throughout their life. And it's so important to understand that. The Pentateuch was written. The Pentateuch is the first five books of the Old Testament. It was written by Moses. Pena means five. And Tuda, which is where the Tuch comes from, means testimony. It's the five books of the testimony of God, of the starting of creation, of the beginning of civilization, of the beginning of the nation of Israel. In those five books, Moses gives an account of God's workings at the very beginning of human civilization. And the very first two verses, Genesis 1, verse 1 and 2, says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." Do you know that in our public schools today, they're teaching that's not true? Hope you understand that. When your children go off to public school today, they're in a war zone, and Satan is in charge. I hate to even think of some of the things that are going on. I just heard on the radio yesterday. 3- and 4-year-olds are being told now they're non-binary. What does that mean? That means they're neither a boy or a girl till they make up their own mind what they are. Little boys and little girls should be able to enjoy being a little boy or a little girl. We shouldn't be telling them there's something else. And they're brainwashing the kids against the word of God. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 24, God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock and the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. What that means is that God says evolution is an absolute lie. But your children are being taught that evolution is the truth and the word of God is the lie. We really need to work with our kids. This has been going on a long time in our nation now. And we need to let our children know what the truth is. Moses told about the creation of man and woman in Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and over all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves along the ground. In our public schools, we're being told that they are not just two sexes. There are many sexes. There's two, God said. Our children are being taught lies. It's so important that mom and dad, if they're Christian, are teaching their children the truth. Way back when we had our children, back almost 50 years ago now, we really debated, should we let our children go to the public school or should we send them to a Christian school? We looked at our school in St. Charles and it was still pretty good. Most of the teachers were Christian. Most of them taught according to the Word of God. Now, they had to teach evolution because that was what the mandate was, but most of the teachers would say, we don't believe it, but we have to teach it. Today, that's not the case anymore. I would not be able to let my children go to school in the public school systems today because they're much, much different. God gave clear commands to Adam and Eve. Our children are being taught there's no such thing, this is sad, but there's no such thing as right and wrong anymore. There's nobody that can tell you what's right and wrong. You have to decide for yourself. But way back in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 15, it says, the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to care for it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you're free to eat from any tree in the garden. So he could eat anything he wanted in the garden. However, there was one tree in the middle of the garden that he could not eat. And the Lord said, the day you eat from that tree, you are surely going to die. And the first thing Satan did was went to Eve and said, did God really say? Putting a doubt in her mind. Do you understand what's going on in our school system today? Is that they're putting doubts in your children's minds, your grandchildren's mind. And that's why it's so important that grandmas and grandpas and dads and moms are constantly telling your children, you have to learn this stuff, but don't you believe it. Because this is what God says. It's so important. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above or in the earth beneath or that's in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers unto the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. In the book of Genesis, chapter 6 through 9, Moses recounts the story of Noah's flood. And in Genesis 6, verse 11, it says, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. So again, in our public schools, our children are being taught the flood that flooded the whole earth. That's not true. It never happened. There is a real battle going on for the souls and the hearts of our children. And as Christian parents, we really need to pray, and grandparents, we really need to pray, are our kids, our grandkids, and now pretty quick for some of us, it's going to be great-grandkids, is it wise to even send them to the public schools anymore? Because they have departed so far from the Word of God and the ways of God. We are to teach our children and our grandchildren the truth of God's work, or word. In the book of Deuteronomy, we're going to look at Moses reminding the nation of Israel that although they lived in a world with man-made gods, there were man-made gods all over that whole area of the world, they were not to worship those gods themselves, and they were to be careful that their children didn't worship those gods either. Today, believe it or not, we live in the same world. When I was a little boy, I hardly ever heard of Hinduism or Muslim faith, any of that stuff. You hardly heard about it. Today, you go to Saginaw, what have you got? You've got a Muslim temple right in Saginaw. It's an amazing thing what's going on. There are gods all around us. The golden calf that Aaron made. Remember when Moses was up on the mountain and the children of Israel said, we don't know what's happened to Moses? Aaron's answer was, give me your gold and I'll make a god. Folks, that's dangerous. Exodus 32, verse 1. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. These are the same people that saw the Red Sea open. They're the same people that saw the 10 plagues. But seeing is not believing. Make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him. This fellow Moses, what's his relationship with Aaron? He's his brother. That's unbelievable. Aaron is the older brother of Moses. Aaron knows Jehovah. Aaron has talked to Jehovah. And now he's going to make a calf idol. It's hard to believe what goes on in people's minds. Aaron answered them, take off your golden earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they had handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, tomorrow there will be a festival to who? To Jehovah, to the Lord. All capital. So the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterwards, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Aaron said, we're going to sacrifice tomorrow to Jehovah God in the form of a calf idol. Is that calf idol Jehovah God? He's not. But do you know that your children today are being taught in the public school that it doesn't matter if you worship Jesus Christ or Buddha or the Hindu god Shiva or Islam. It doesn't matter because they're all the same. Folks, they're not all the same. We have to have the discernment to know the difference because our children are under attack by Satan himself, by their teachers, many of them. There are still some Christian teachers in our public school system, and I praise God for them. They've got a huge job to perform. But there are many in the teaching institution right now that are teaching things that ought not to be taught. And our children have to put up with it. There's a lot of pressure on those kids today. Aaron sacrificing to the golden calf said he was sacrificing to the Lord. But what did the Lord say about that? Exodus 32, verse 7. Then the Lord said to Moses, go down, because your people whom you brought up out of Egypt have become corrupt. They've been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt. I see these people, the Lord said to Moses. They are a stiff-necked people. Folks, that's what God said about them then, and that's exactly what he's saying about the people in our nation today, and the majority have departed from God, and are worshiping the idols of this life, and they want to teach our children the same exact thing. There's only one God, regardless of what teachers or anybody else says. Again, in Deuteronomy 6:1, it says, "These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land you're crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all of his decrees and commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. We don't worship multiple gods. That would have been outlandish if when our nation first started, that any teachers in any public school had told that there are other gods that are just as valuable as Jesus Christ. They would not have been able to teach. Folks, our nation has changed, and we don't want to change with it. What our children are learning in public schools has to be refuted at home. If they don't hear it from the parents or the grandparents, who are they going to hear it from? Teachers are going to teach something different most of the time. You go to the YMCA today. The YMCA is no longer the young man or young woman's Christian organization. You go to the YMCA today and you take your child. You got a little boy or a little girl and you go into the shower. Do you know in every YMCA across the country today, a man can go in a woman's shower and a woman can go in a man's shower? That's going on. You need to know that. We live in a changing world. We're in a world that's very dangerous to children. I would hate to be a kid today. I would. It's much more difficult than when I was a young boy. We have a nation that's trying to warp our children's minds. They're teaching things that ought never to be taught, and they're allowing things, even in groups that used to be very, very Christian, that you can do anything you want. You can be anything you want. It's sad. In James chapter 1, verse 22, this is talking to parents as well as to every Christian. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks in his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they'll be blessed in what they do. Moses thundered the same teaching for his day. In Deuteronomy 6:4, he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." When you walk along the road and you see a rainbow, what do you tell your children? Isn't that pretty? Look at the colors. Or do you tell your children, that represents the promise that God gave to Noah? It's beautiful, but it represents what God told Noah. Your little boy or little girl is going to go, wow, how long ago was that? Well, that was about 5,000 years ago? No way. When you see that little flower, and there's a whole group of little flowers all exactly the same shape, you can explain to your children about creation. You can tell them, God said everyone begets from itself and it's just like the one it came from. Isn't that marvelous? And your little ones are going to begin to understand that there is a God, that he does love them, that he made them unique for a specific purpose. In Matthew 22, verse 36, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on those two commandments." Wouldn't it be something if moms and dads were teaching their children what's most important in God's sight? "The most important thing, Johnny and Susie, is that you love the Lord with all your heart. And then the second most important thing, Johnny and Susie, is that you love your neighbor as yourself." Folks, if they could get that straight, they'd be way ahead of most people. It's so important that we do that. Our Lord wants us to get it into their hearts when they're young, because they're very impressionable. God has put a natural love in children for their parents. As long as you don't totally betray that, they will listen to you. They will believe you. And you can guide them into the love of the Lord. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gate." We didn't have it on the door frames of our houses, but our refrigerator for years was full of the promises of God, pictures of creation, all kinds of things we could do to impress our children with the truth. Why? Because more than anything else, I never cared very much if my children were the smartest kids in school. It didn't matter. Because once you graduate, who asked you what your grades were? Anybody here ever go to apply for a job where they ask you what your grade average was in high school? If you graduated, that's important. But the grades don't matter. When I graduated college, no job I ever went to apply for ever asked, "What was your grade point average in college?" All they said is, "Do you have a diploma?" That's all that mattered. Folks, we don't have to push our kids in too many directions. We want to push them in one primary direction, that they learn the love of the Lord. They have a reverential awe for God. We've only got a few years. 18 years passes so quick. In fact, by the time they're 16 or 17, they're not listening the way they did when they were younger. Kids change. It says in Ephesians 5:15, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understanding what the Lord's will is." We live in evil days today, much more so than when I was a boy. It was bad. There was things wrong even when I was a kid. But it's much more evil now, much more difficult for our children. The Lord gave instructions again. I want to read this again because it's so important you understand the primary reason why God created marriage in the first place. In Malachi 2:13, he says, "Another thing you do, you flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and wail because he no longer looks with favor on your offerings or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. You ask why? It's because the Lord is the witness between you and the wife of your youth. You've been unfaithful to her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Has not the Lord God made you? And you belong to him in body and spirit. And what does the one God seek? Godly offspring. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. The man who hates and divorces his wife, says the Lord, the God of Israel, does violence to the one he should protect, says the Lord Almighty. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful. What the Lord wants us as Christians to do with our children and our grandchildren is to make our number one priority for them to know the Lord as their Lord, to love the Lord with all their heart, and desire to live a life pleasing to Him. Folks, that's priority one. But it's not the priority of most Christian parents or grandparents. We're busy with our lives. It's all about the jobs. It's all about the money. It's all about the success and the house and the car. And the kids are kind of priority 14. And any relationship of them with the Lord is about priority 77. You stop and think how many kids there are right around this church that never attend church anyplace. That's what we're going out to get. We want to get those kids. If mom and dad are not going to do the job, hopefully this church can help some of these kids. In Ephesians 6:4 again, it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That's primarily a dad's job. One last time, Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Folks, it's so important. Those years pass in a hurry. We've got grandkids that listen to us. Now, I got to tell you, being a grandparent is different than a parent. The parent has more effect than the grandparents. But grandparents can still have a wonderful effect. When we went to my brother's son's wife, so it's like not a niece. I don't know what you even call it. Anyhow, when we went, a pastor that I used to know at the youth groups from Vassar, a wonderful pastor, came up to me and shook my hand. And I said, how did you know the family? He says, oh, Carrie, that's the name of the gal that passed. Carrie's grandma and mother both attend our church regularly. And he said, when Carrie was a little girl, I understand she attended there too. Whether Carrie ever got saved or not, I don't know. But at that church, I do know she heard the gospel. She had the opportunity. Grandma was doing her job, and Mom was doing her job. It's interesting to me. He said, Grandma and Mom attend. What about Grandpa and Dad? Apparently not. Folks, that's sad. Because the dad is the leader of the home. The children will follow the dad. That's why it's so important when we have children. Dad, you better be faithful because you're the difference maker. That's not to say women don't make a difference. They do. But the dad is the one that's the natural leader of a family. And when they don't have their hearts in the things of God, they miss the greatest opportunity of their life. Because to affect your own children to love the Lord means that you're going to be together with your children for all eternity. One last verse is Psalm 4:8. Well, I guess we get two more. It says, in peace I will lay down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. What a great verse when the kids are going to bed. The Lord is there. He'll take care of you. And then one last one is Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you don't get the fear of the Lord into your children, they are not going to know the knowledge of God, and all the rest of the knowledge that they ever get is going to come to what? It's going to come to nothing. Because when their life is done, they're going to go to the lake of fire. We need to get the knowledge of God and the fear of God and the love of God into our children's heart. So our children are the greatest gift that God ever gives us, children and grandchildren. That's the primary gift. because they're going to go on forever. Your house, when you pass, it's not going on forever with you. That's for sure. Anything you have on this earth, any great fame you ever get, maybe you're the greatest hockey player that ever lived, when you're gone, it's going to mean nothing if your children don't know the Lord. So I can't encourage you enough. Put your heart as parents, grandparents, into teaching that next generation about our Lord. We're going to sing number